The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
Abso-fucking-lutely. How you doing?
Let's fucking do it.
Let's Peter's do balls. This. Fucking shit. There is a chance that this podcast might come in at under 3 hours. Purely because Lloyd's got to go and move some heavy shit.
Not weights.
No, you got. You're helping a friend. You're helping a friend move some crap, which is really.
I'm excited,
really
man. It feels like we haven't. Did we do it last week, or did we not?
Yeah, we did. We did it last week. Yeah.
Everything's a fucking blur these days.
Really, really is. It really is. But it's good to see you, man. Things are exciting. It's you know, summer's over. It's coming up on the winter months. It's very exciting.
Let's stop talking about the fucking weather. Tell me what you've been up to, man.
There's some big conventions coming up soon. We've got the London Magic Convention, which is going to be incredible. Yeah. Chris Cox has got his lecture up here, has got his convention up in Newcastle, which is really, really promising to be very.
He's running a convention.
Yeah, he's got his own convention. It's on November the 12th. Ryland wants to go for his birthday because it's Ryland's birthday in November the 12th, and he wants to go. It's not Chris Cox. Oh, who's the other Chris? There's two Chrises. Not Chris Cox. Chris Cox is wonderful.
Oh, awesome. Chris Evans. You mean Captain America?
No.
Chris Pine. Chris Pine.
No.
No, from Wonder Woman. Chris Pratt. From Ant-Man.
You're not helping.
Chris Hemsworth.
You're really not helping.
Chris Angel.
No, not Chris Angel. Oh, bloody hell. There's a convention in Newcastle.
Just tell me what the convention's called and what it's about.
I can't remember. I just can't remember anything.
You put your phone down and try and put some words together in a sentence and I'll search it in Google. Newcastle Magic Convention. NMC, Northern Magic Circle.
No, that's the one that's taking place in October. I was going to mention
South
that.
South Tyneside?
I don't know. I know it's the 12th of November. I was going to promote it, but, you know, that would involve me doing research before I come on this fucking thing. So you can
see. There's one on the 14th of October for.
Yeah, that's one that Steve Gore has put together.
Okay.
But that's meant to be really good, but I haven't actually, again, looked into that. So I don't know what's on. I know Alan Hudson and Cass Hudson's on. But beyond that, I don't really know. But yeah, there's another one happening in November, and for some reason, I can't find it.
It sounds brilliant. Sounds fantastic.
I'll try to find it during the course of the podcast.
Can't wait to go.
Fuck off.
The Wizards Weekend. Chris Cox.
That's him.
Chris Cross.
Cross. I'm getting my Chris's crossed up. Yes. Chris.
It says you're on Magic Week. The Wizards Weekend, from the organizer. We have a fantastic lineup for our Wizards Weekend, the Chris Cross Magic Convention. 11th to the 13th of November, Franz Harari, Laura London, John Archer, Mark Oberon, Chris Cross, Billy the Kid, he's in, James, Jamie Raven, Mark Mason, Noel Britton, Paul Stone, and many more special guests.
Yeah,
Newcastle upon Tyne. Sounds amazing, actually.
Me and Ryan in the gun.
Sounds fucking great, man.
Why, does that mean to be a Newcastle accent?
Yeah, no, I fucked it. Yeah. Well, leave me out.
Wasn't good.
Leave it there.
So it's interesting that there's one in October and there's one in November, and they're both in the Northeast. Very, very interesting. And then you've got the London Magic Convention at the 6th of November, which is going to be really good. There's a load of stuff coming up. But I've just been to the Magic Circle with Ryland. It was the first Magic Circle convention, and Michael J. Fitch put it all together with his team, Lee Hathaway and a few other people. They smashed it. It was a great convention. It was really good. They had the dealers in a separate hotel. They had everything going on in the Magic Circle. They had tours going on in the Magic Circle, which I thought was really nice. All the lectures and everything took place in the theater. They had some great lectures. They had Marvin Berglas talking about business. They had Mark Spellman. They had Mark Oberon. They had Tom Stone. They had Nicola Arcane. Just some really great lectures. And then they had the gala show in the evening. And
I heard this is genuine, actually, like no smoke up the arse, but I had people text me saying how fucking unbelievable Ryland was in the gala show. And I know every week we say the same thing, but I genuinely had people texting me after the gala show being like, holy fuck, Ryland was amazing. And his new final piece of his act is stunning.
Yeah, he smashed it. You know what? And he came off stage. I was backstage watching him because I was doing his sound cues and everything. And he came off stage and I was like, mate, you're amazing. He's like, I could have done better. I was like, no, that was incredible. He's like, I've done better. I will do better next time. And
that's the best attitude to have.
Yeah, it was so great. But at the end of his act, Michael J. Fitch brought him back on stage. And he's not old enough to join the YMC. You have to be 10. And he presented him with, like, I think a 2-year membership to the YMC. He made him the newest member of the YMC and then gave him the sexiest, baddest, assest looking set of cups and balls I've ever seen as a thank you gift. So, like,
wow. Wait, and how is he not 10 yet?
He's not 10. He's not 10 till
so November. Is he the youngest ever member of?
I believe so. Yeah, believe so.
Wow, that's an accolade in itself.
I know, right? So
Stephen Mulhern used to, like, that was like his big thing, wasn't it? When he was a presenter, he was the youngest person to join the Magic Circle. So that accolade alone gets people to open doors.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. There you go. Yeah, he was so emotional. He was really emotional. But Michael J. Fitch took a picture, and I'm going to post this on my social media at some point. But he took a picture of just before Ryland was walking on stage. He was literally backstage. He was being introduced by Michael J. Fitch, and I was with him, and I was like, "Are you okay? Have you got this? Have you got this?" And he took this picture.
Wow.
And I just think that's a great picture of just me and him. Like,
it's just for everyone that can't see, it's Craig touching Ryland inappropriately backstage. That's not. That's a really sweet moment captured there, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
But yeah, it was fantastic. And thank you to Michael and Lee and everyone that made it happen. And he just works hard every single day. So every single day he's working harder. But the Magic Circle convention was great. What else has been going on?
There was like the Leeds Magic Convention and the other one.
You go to Leeds. You said you were potentially going to go.
What do you think, man?
No, you probably just stayed in Wales and counted sheep.
I just stayed in Wales and counted and fucked sheep. Counted, fucked them. I can't remember what I did. I did some garden work. It was pretty fun, pretty exciting.
It's this rock and roll lifestyle that I think really brings something to the podcast so that everybody wants to be you.
No, I don't know. I just chilled, man. Just...
Have you? Well,
I really did want to go. I fucking love magic conventions. They're my favorite places. One of my favorite places on earth. That's not a lie, but I don't know. It's, you know, like just.
You are definitely going to London Magic Convention though, right? You went last year.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant stuff. Okay. Well, look, we need to talk about something else. Blackpool Magic Convention, Russ Bowne, Russ Stevens, the rest of the team, Guy Barrett, all the guys, they made their first massive announcements about Blackpool. Did you see it?
I did see it. And that's crazy. Like there's people talking about this that normally don't come out of the woodwork or stay, you know, silent on anything. But you want to go on, say it in case I fuck it up.
So they've announced the first big thing that's happening at Blackpool, a real innovation in my mind. They are having a competition called The One, and it's going to take place on the Saturday night at Blackpool, and it's going to be, you know, the gala show, basically, and it's going to be 8 acts. Each act is going to be given, I think, 10 to 12 minutes. And the winner wins £30,000 and then performs again on the following night. And that's what it is. I mean, they somebody said to me...
30 fucking grand for doing tricks.
Yeah, somebody said to me, oh, I'm going to apply. And I was like, I wouldn't bother if I were... I know some of the people... Some of the people that this is going to attract, you're going to have physical winners, you're going to have TV magicians, you're going to have... I wouldn't be surprised if there's people that have been considered to lecture or have lectured at Blackpool in the past that would want to enter this competition. Like, because it's also taking place in the theatre. So it either has to be a theatrical close-up, you know, a little bit like... what's the guy that did the schizophrenic act with the ball that keeps coming out the cup and that thing?
Oh, yeah. Jan Frisch.
Jan Frisch, sorry. His name escaped me for a second. It either has to be close up like that or something along
that. That's more parlor. That's parlor, I'd say.
Yeah. Or it has to be a full on stage performance and stuff like that. And they are going to have to bring.
I don't think they should award it. I wish it did open it up to close up. I think that would be crazy if they could somehow make it close up. But I get it.
Yeah. I mean, anyone can apply. Anyone can apply.
30. Did you say it was only 8 people can contest for it though? It was
only 8. I remember reading. I'm pretty sure.
Is there like a qualification stage?
Well, I don't think there's a qualification stage. I think that basically you submit your video of the act.
Ah, okay, yeah. Well, that's basically it, isn't it?
And they decide...
Who's going to judge it? That's the question.
This was all in the post. I'm trying to find it.
If it was on Facebook, then I wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, I know. You're not a Facebook dude anymore. I can see why this isn't working. Hang on. I'll find the post. I will find the post. There we go. I'm honing in. Here we go. Got it. Right. Okay. Got it. It's just loading up. Talk for me, Lloyd, while this loads up. Here we go. One night, one chance, one winner, the one. Magic's biggest prize of 30,000. The rules. This is a competition open to all stage acts and theatrical close-up performers. All acts must submit an unedited video of their act for consideration. The acts must run between 7 and 12 minutes. The first prize will be £30,000, UK sterling. The winner will receive a specially designed trophy as part of the prize. The judges will consist of 3 very notable magicians and their decision will be final. The management will pay hotel and registration costs for all performers. But they have to book their own airfares, blah, 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 freight costs to Blackpool. Each act will be given a 45-minute rehearsal time. This will take place over the convention weekend. The chosen 8 acts will perform twice on the night of the competition, and the winning act will perform twice on the Sunday night gala show. Selected competitors agree to keep their participation in the competition strictly confidential. The closing date for all submissions will be the 31st of October.
Wow. So is Ryan going to enter?
Is he fuck? That would be like throwing a lamb to the slaughter. No.
Who would you like to see enter? Let's have a speculation. You
know, I imagine that we're going to see some really big names enter this thing. Some really... really big names. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Jan Frisch could enter.
Yeah, like FISM winners, Jan Frisch.
Kobe, is it just one? Is it Mark Kobe?
Yeah, like FISM winners. You'd be
Matthew Wright,
people like that. I could see those sort of people entering. I could also see people entering that like
Shin
Lim and like people that have done really well that are on the TV. Mark Spellman, for example, people like that. Because at the end of the day, £30,000, it's a lot of money. It's the biggest prize I've ever seen at any magic convention ever.
I'd like to see somebody win that's not established, but genuinely based on skill. You know, I'd like it to be somebody wins who needs the money.
Yeah.
I'd love that to happen. But that's so exciting. It's it's, yeah, I can't remember the last time I've seen a magic competition that had like a genuine prize that people wanted.
Yeah, I know, right? I think it's a real innovation from the Blackpool team. My virtual hat is off to them.
Yeah, it's incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And people are already buzzing about it, so you can imagine what it's going to be like at convention. Everyone's going to be talking about it. The next day, everyone's going to be talking about it.
I think it shows something higher. I think it shows as well that, like, Blackpool isn't just about the money. They could, you know, that's profit that could have gone back into Blackpool. That could have helped with the convention, the costs. It could have gone into the pockets of the organisers because they do such a good job. It could have done a £10,000 prize. It also shows the power of how big Blackpool is as a convention to be able to do that, you know.
I've said before that, like, the people that run Blackpool, I know that there's a team, but the three people that kind of head it up is Russ Stevens, Russ Brown, and Guy Barrett. Mm-hmm. Well, all three of them are super successful away from the Blackpool Magic Convention.
Yeah. You
know, they don't need any money from Blackpool. I guarantee you the amount of work that they put into Blackpool over the course of the year doesn't even come close.
Doesn't quantify, no.
No, not at all. Not at all. They do it for the love of it. I know they do. Yeah. And this just proves it. So, yeah, that's what's happening in the world at the moment. There is actually one other thing that I want to talk about, and we haven't mentioned this to each other at all, but I'd be interested in getting your take on things.
Okay.
So I was looking at Prop Dog Facebook page the other day. And one thing that Prop Dog have been doing, and I think that's absolutely fine, is if there's a product that's coming in that they think is not very good, they say they're not going to stock it, and they put a little post on their Facebook page saying, I'm not going to stock it. Yeah. So they did it with the Peak by Mr. Blonde. They were like, hey, we're not going to stock this. We don't think it's very good. They've done it a few times recently, and that's absolutely fine. I applaud that 100%. But then on their, I don't know how I feel about this. So I want to know what you think, because I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sit easy with me. They put this post on. I'm showing it to you right now. So Scott Alexander has just, and you know I'm a massive Scott Alexander fan. He's just put out The Final Answer Reloaded. Now, if you don't know what The Final Answer is, I did The Final Answer for years. It's his Billin Lemon method. And it's a very clever method of a Billin Lemon. It allows you basically to be able to have a bowl of lemons sitting on the table. The audience member can come up and take a lemon and hold on to it. There's no bag or anything like that. They can hold on to the lemon the entire time. You can then borrow a bill, do the whole bill vanish, whatever routine you want to do. And at the end, you take the lemon back off the person that's been holding it in the audience. They cut the lemon open and inside is the bill.
Okay.
There's another handling where you can put the lemon inside a see-through bag. So not inside a paper bag, inside a see-through bag. You give it them. They can hold onto it the whole time. You then bring them up on stage and they take the lemon out of the bag themselves. They cut open the lemon and inside is the bill. It's amazing. It's the best version of Billin Lemon I've ever seen. And for years I did it and I only stopped doing it because I lost my incredibly expensive gimmick. He's just brought out The Final Answer Reloaded, which apparently is new methods, new, better designed gimmick, blah, blah. I'm definitely going to get it. It's $350. It's not cheap. A lot of Scott Alexander's stuff isn't cheap. You're paying for the routine a lot of the time. Like when I bought Superfly, it was like $200. And it's basically just a zombie gimmick with a handkerchief. But you know how many times I've done that routine. Every time you see me do I do that routine. For me, it's absolutely worth it. And then some. Well, Prop Dog put this post up here. They put a picture of the Final Answer thing. And they've put at the bottom, not in stock at Prop Dog. And then to the right of it, they posted a picture of a thumb tip, and they went in stock at Prop Dog.
Okay.
So basically what they're saying is, why would you pay $350 for a routine when you can get a thumb tip and you can do Billin Lemon with just a thumb tip? Which I understand that they believe that, but this is different for me.
I don't know what the Scott Alexander gimmick is to, like, is it?
I can't give it away. It's,
I know,
but
I would imagine it was maybe a special sort of knife.
No.
Okay. So it's really tricky to speculate on any of this because I don't know the full thing. Unless, okay, Craig's going to type it to me just to give me a heads up, just so I can sort of have an insight on this. What do you say it retails at?
$350, yeah.
$350. I mean, I don't think there's, after speaking to you, I don't think there's, it's hard to say. If it depends on the prop, but like sometimes you buy a routine, like Paul Vigil had a card trick called Dystopia, was it, for $900 or $1,000, and it's, I don't think there was anything really special about the cards, it was just the whole routine, and he valued his routine at $900. And if people wanted to buy it, then they could buy it.
There you go.
Okay, I'm just reading Craig's thing. Talk for a second.
Yeah. So, but for me, it's not just about them. I mean, I've just told Lloyd what the gimmick is, but outside...
Okay, I can see that. That sounds pretty cool, actually.
It's very cool. It really is very cool. So you can just hold the bill, and after they've signed it, you can take it. It's a very clean vanish. You can then go and get the bill that they've been holding on to, and as you take it in this hand to give them a knife, the move's done, and then you give them the lemon... Mm-hmm. Cut open it themselves, and inside is the bill.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. I actually wouldn't think 350 is too much of a stretch. I think though, what PropDog is doing is what I would assume is this, is that they don't think their customers would be happy with it, and maybe they pooled some customers who bought the previous version.
I'm a PropDog customer, and I would be happy with it. In fact, I'm just about to buy the bloody trick, and I'm going
to
buy
just to play devil's advocate, you're happy to pay for the other stuff, which was like super expensive or relative, you know, comparatively expensive, even though it's a certain gimmick basic gimmicks. And there's I've seen a few things like this happening with other products recently. And if they get if the dealers get returns, they can lose money on that because they have to cover the shipping costs and they've already forked out sometimes. And if the product is just not good, then I'm not sure what I don't know what the Murphy's stance is, because it's an entirely different, it's basically a different company from what the studio department is. But if the product's returned because somebody just doesn't like it, then that's not on I don't think that's Murphy's responsibility. So it falls onto the stores that stock it. And then they have to also cover postage. So it can end up costing them money just to stock it and then have it returned. So I think sometimes it comes to like, what if, you know, a $350 item, it's whatever the percentage value is to buy it in, which is probably over $100, then the shipping and whatever comes with it. So they could probably look at that. Any company could go, it's good, but we're going to face a lot of, maybe if they feel it's completely overpriced.
Okay,
and it's going to cost them over $100 each time.
So why not just not stock it? Why make a graphic where you're basically trivializing somebody's trick and saying a thumb tip can do the same thing? If you don't want to stock it for that reason, you don't want to stock it because you think you don't want to invest £100 for it to sit on your shelves, then you've got two options. A, you can just order it in from you can order it in from Murphy's when somebody orders it. So you can put it on the site and you can say to them, hey, you can order it, but it's going to take us a few days to get it in. And therefore, there's no cost for you unless they buy it. Or two, just don't put it on the site and don't make a big deal of it. Because I'm all for PropDog calling out shit tricks. I'm all for that. Absolutely. I applaud them for that. But this is not a shit trick. What they're doing is they're trivializing Scott's routine, and they're trivializing the ingenuity behind Scott's routine in order to make a point that you can do the same thing with a thumb tip. Well, I do a routine I'm putting a routine together for Ryland's show at the moment, and it's a coins across designed for his cabaret show. And I went and bought a silver Odyssey by Collector's Workshop, which cost me $1,500.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, because for me, that's the absolute best way to do this particular coins across that I've got in mind for it. I've got the music and everything written. I've got the script. This is a wonderful way to do it. So I invested in that. Could you do coins across with four coins? Yeah. But is this a better way to do it for the routine and the act that I'm putting together for Ryland? Absolutely. 100%. Without a shadow of a doubt. So why trivialize Scott's routine? Scott can charge whatever the hell he wants to for his tricks. Like I say, I bought his Superfly. I spent $200 on basically a zombie gimmick and a handkerchief. But that trick has literally took me around the world. It has opened doors for me as a cabaret performer that wouldn't have opened if I didn't have that routine in my act. This is better than a thumb tip. Now, you might disagree with me, and if you disagree with me, that's fine. But why, as a shop, would you make a big post about, hey, you can do this with a thumb tip instead? Because then people are going to look at that if they don't know Scott's routine. There might be somebody out there that's looking for a really good version of Bill and Lemon. And a thumb tip method doesn't work for them for whatever reason. And they're looking for something else. And they see this and they're like, oh, no, it's basically just a thumb tip. Because they haven't explained the context. They've just said, we're not stocking this, but we are stocking this. Now, for anybody who's looking at that graphic, they might think, oh, well, Scott's just supplying a thumb tip and it's just a routine, and it's, which is not the case. He's supplying a specially made gimmick. So why trivialize the gimmick, the ingenuity and the routine just to make a point on social media?
It's a strange one. I feel like there's more to it. I feel like there's maybe something's gone on that we don't know about, because it's not really their MO to do that, you know?
I know, which is really surprising. They stock other Scott Alexander tricks. So, for example, they stock in their shop, and I've just bought it off them, ironically, Shoe Business 3, which is a Scott Alexander trick, which cost about $300. And I've always been a big fan of Shoe Business.
Yeah, I genuinely feel like there's more to this, man. I feel like, I don't know, maybe they've got the gimmicks in, and they were I'm speculating. But maybe they weren't made well, or they were all defective and it's cost them an arm and a leg, you know, in replacements. This seems like this just doesn't seem as clear cut to me. But then, yeah, I mean, if it, you know, on the other hand, if they have just tried to make a spectacle of it, then that's not too cool. And it sets a pretty bad precedent, you know, and other shops will try and then copy and get on the bandwagon of trying to shame products because they just personally don't prefer them. If that's the case, it seems like there's more to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't understand it. I think that the guys at Prop Dog are awesome. Don't get me wrong. I think that the Prop Dog team are great. And I absolutely love what they're doing with calling out bad tricks. I think that that's amazing. But I don't understand why they've done this. I don't get it. Or if they do...
Is there any comments on the post?
There are comments. The only comment that Prop Dog have replied to is somebody posted on there, I would love to see any of the Prop Dog magicians do a lemon load invisibly right in the open with a TT. Oh, yeah, they can't. And Prop Dog replied and said, why would we? This is Scott's own words describing Final Cut is improved version to Final Answer, which does not require an open load. This is Scott's go-to Bill and Lemon that is surefire, easy to do, and delivers the Bill and the Lemon like a rattlesnake bite. Fast, deadly, and no one sees it coming. There's no better method out there, bar none. I don't really get why they're doing it. That, or at least give it some more context. Like, say why it's not very good. They did that with various other products. They do a little review saying, we're not going to stock this. This is why we're not going to stock it. It's bad quality. It's blah, 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 blah. But in this, it's just like, they're not even saying it's bad quality. They're literally just posting a picture of Final Answer saying we're not stocking this, and then posting a picture of a thumb tip saying we are posting that. For example, how would you feel if they posted a picture of Cognito saying we're not stocking this, and then they posted a picture of the calculator cards, you know, which is obviously it's based on, and said, we are stocking this, with no context whatsoever as to why they posted that. As a creator, I just don't think that's on. If you want to call out bad tricks, cool, brilliant, all there with you 100%. But just to say it's not as good as a thumb tip, where do we stop with that? You know, like, are you going to post a picture of the Quantum deck now and then post a picture of a blank deck and go, hey, this is better, you can just use the Barry Richardson method? Are you going to post a picture of Pro Caps when it comes out and then post a picture of Dynamic Coins and say, hey, this is the same thing and it's cheaper? Where does this stop? What? They're a magic shop. You know, why is it okay for them to post this with no context whatsoever to their legions of fans? And they have got a lot of fans, spreading what I think is misinformation, because I've got the original, or I did have the original final answer. I'm going to get the new final answer. In my opinion, it's better than a thumb tip. Now, you might disagree. The people at Prop Dog might think that a thumb tip is better. That's fine, but that's their opinion. I just, you know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't know. It's perplexing. It's a strange one. This is.
Yeah.
I really don't understand it. Maybe ask them.
I might do.
Yeah, because I can't wrap my head around this one.
Yeah, I might do. I might do. And again, for anybody, and I know that people are going to go to Prop Dog and say, Craig's dissing you on the podcast. Well, no, fuck off. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm questioning why this post was put up about final
answer. Well, I think it's a totally valid question. I really do. I'm scratching my head with this one.
Yeah, and to be clear, I love Prop Dog. I think they're great. I buy a lot of stuff from Prop Dog. I put an order in just last week. I think the Prop Dog are amazing, and I think that the team do an amazing job. And it's a shame that they're not going to be around forever, and they've decided to kind of scale back. Doesn't mean that I can't question why they've done this. And again, I thought their post about the peak by Mr. Blom was great because they gave context as to why it wasn't very good. There's no context here. If they don't want to stock something because they think there's a better method out there, if they don't want to stock something because they think it's shit, fair enough. But they're not saying that in this post. They're just saying, do it with a thumb tip.
Yeah. Fucking... I can't figure it out. I cannot figure it out.
Yeah.
What did Prop Dog's comment say again?
It didn't really make sense. I think it was typed in a rush. I don't really fully understand what they're saying. I don't get it. I don't know.
Oh well, I don't know. That's your homework for next week is to reach out to the boys and find out what's going on.
Yeah, I think I might do. I mean, it might just be a case of taking the piss. A few of the comments on the thread are saying, "Oh, Scott would find this post funny. It's taking the piss. It's just a." I don't think he would find it funny when a shop is blatantly saying we're not going to stock this particular product. I don't think they're going to find. I wouldn't find that funny. But maybe I'm a touchy sensitive.
Wow. Maybe they probably get on with each other, don't they? They must know each other, so it could be.
I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Let us know what you think. Products. Let's move on to products, man, because I know you've got to rush off. Anything going on with regards to products that you know of?
I don't know.
Tell you right now, by the way, I've just seen.
I haven't been on the Magic Cafe for like 2 weeks.
I've now seen and reviewed Portrait Wow, the drawing Duke.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
Love it. I think it's brilliant. It's going into my parlor shop.
Is it? Wow. It's
really, really good.
How are you going to use it? In a visual manner? Or are you going to use it?
I'm putting this transposition together. I've got this whole thing where I go, right, okay, you've got a piece of paper. I've got a piece of paper. We're going to draw something at the same time. If it matched, would that be good? And they turn it around. It's completely different. I go, well, I'm not a mind reader, but I can do magic. Watch this and kind of go into it that way. I really like it. Really, really like it.
You know, actually, speaking of new products, here's something that I heard, which is about Penguin and the trick called Diamond Cutter.
Oh, right. Okay. I was going to bring that up in the Sorry Not Sorry because I've got very strong opinions about this.
Yeah. Okay.
Back and forth with Aaron for days about this.
Well, let's leave it to Sorry Not Sorry because I completely forgot about this. I read it on Reddit of all places.
He messaged me and I can give you. I've got a video going up about this on Friday, but I can definitely talk about it now.
Let's see what new products are out. I don't think there's much.
We need to be quick if you've got to run. So
I think this whole Amanda Nepo Diamond Cutter Aaron Rucker or something. What's his name?
Yeah.
It's gonna get go.
Yeah.
It's so new products.
New products. The Final Answer Reloaded by Scott Alexander and Bob Kohler, which we just talked about. Bill and Lemon. Boom. Berkshire. Whatever. Yeah. I love it. But Xerox by Roddy McGee. Xerox has... Penguin have just bought out Xerox by Roddy McGee.
I've seen the trailer of that. I really like that, actually.
I love that little flash of light. I think that really is quite cool. Also, Big Blind Media have bought out Brainstormer by Mark Leverage. When I interviewed Mark Leverage, I talked about Brainstormer. It's my favorite Mark Leverage product that's ever been created. And Big Blind Media have got the rights to it and have bought it back out. And what's Brainstormer is amazing. The effect is, and it's a really clever method, the effect is imagination becomes reality when a spectator's name card prints in the blank deck. No rough and smooth, no gaffes, no kidding. The performer removes the deck from his case and spreads it to show that the cards are blank on both sides. The performer explains that, in fact, he has arranged the deck so that all the red cards are together and all the black cards are together. He splits the deck and ribbon spreads one half on the table in front of the spectators, saying these are all the red cards. He spreads the other half in front of himself, saying these are all the black cards. Picking up the spectators' cards, he explains that although they all look completely blank, the spectator should nevertheless be able to pick out any red card that he wants to. To prove this, the spectator is invited to name any red card. Let's say he names the four of diamonds. Spreading the spectator's cards out before him, the performer invites the spectator to touch any card. This selection is removed and turned over, and the performer claims that the card the spectator touched is really the four of diamonds, even though it looks blank. The magician now says he'll try and do the same thing, and he names a card, say the eight of spades, and takes the card out of his packet, showing it's the eight of spades. The spectators are less than convinced by this, and the performer says he's going to do some magic. Picking up the spectator's card, he places it face up in the performer's pile and cuts it into the center. He does the same with his eight of spades, cutting it into the middle of the spectator's pile. And then he says, because we've exchanged cards, my eight of spades is the only black card amongst your red cards, and your four of diamonds is the only red one in my black cards. And then with a snap of his fingers, he spreads through the two piles on the table, and you've got two printed cards, the eight of spades and the four of diamonds. It's very good.
I didn't follow any of that. That
was basically
a boring ad copy I've literally ever heard in my entire fucking life.
The spectator names a card. It is shitty ad copy, really.
It's terrible ad copy.
Trick. Yeah. The spectator names a card and it prints in the deck. But it's a very clever method.
Cool. I like clever methods.
Yeah, if you want to jazz it up, it's like, imagine a blank deck of cards that are blank on both sides. Now imagine the spectator freely names any card. No force. With a snap of the fingers, the card prints in the deck. You know, something like that. Yeah, that would be probably a little bit better, but it's a really good trick. I need to do fucking voiceovers. Anyway, the other thing that's come out from Penguin, because they're hitting it out of the park at the moment, is Flight of Fancy by David Regal, which is the trick that I showed you a few weeks ago before it got released. Two decks.
Yes. What?
Yeah.
Yes, that was good. Yeah,
that's really now good. Come out. It's not cheap, it's $50, but you get two specially gimmick decks.
Well, I do love a gimmick deck. And that's out. Is that out now?
That's out now. It's now available to buy from your favorite magic dealer or even
drug dealer.
Yeah, drug dealers.
Which is magic.
there's something that Murphys are pushing at the moment.
What's that?
Sky Vanish.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That looks crazy.
I looked at the trailer and I was like, for those that don't know, it's basically just you're holding a card at the tips of the fingers and it just vanishes. Like, it just blinks out of existence.
Yeah.
And the ad copy, I thought, right, that's just social media. And I looked at the ad copy and it says perfect for live Zoom or social media performances. And it says the angle's 180.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, because
so you know, I'm cool.
Say it as it is. It looks like it's somehow hidden in the palm, like, but it's like a gimmick that you know folds up. And it looks like it's done extremely well. What I think about things like that is that they can be a trick like that has more legs than it's shown in the trailer. So in the trailer, it's just holding one card, blink, and it vanishes. But if you were to do an effect where you put a card under somebody's seat in advance, you know, a duplicate or even a signed card, because you could do that with good routine, or load it in their pocket or under their drink, anything you want, and then use that as, hey, watch, this is your card. It vanishes before they even get a chance to think, to look for where it's gone. Because when you do a vanish, and Rory talked about this in his one ahead blog, it's always better to have it appear, because otherwise they're just looking for the object that's vanished. But when it appears somewhere, then you it comes full circle and it takes the heat off. You know, it makes more sense. So if you were to do it in that context where you've preloaded the card somewhere or loaded it in a, you know, with a signed card in the middle of the routine, and you say, okay, so what's your card? And it's obviously it's the gimmick and vanishes, but now look, it's under your cup. That could really create a really, really memorable piece of magic. Someone will go away and they'll remember that it was literally in his hand. I blinked or I didn't even look away and it was suddenly under my glass. And they could really believe that they've seen something real there. So,
oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
I actually really, really dig it.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very cool. The other thing that's come out, Vanishing Ink have just brought out Symmetry, Parity, and the Chimera deck by Ben Harris. Ben
Harris, I need to look into this because anything he does is normally really smart.
Symmetry and Parity exemplifies the immense power we can possess as magicians when we take time to understand an effect in its most basic form. With this innovative kit, you'll get a stunning book, 3 specially made decks unavailable anywhere else, and a custom-made gimmicked card case that have all been custom designed to help elevate the principles of a classic gimmick deck into something infinitely more incredible. With this project, Ben showcases the power of stripping a classic principle down to its bare bones. By uncovering weaknesses and adding new layers of deception, Ben has significantly enhanced the potential of the principles behind the criminally overlooked Svengali deck. Ben's method for allowing the audience to seemingly shuffle the gaff deck is a stroke of pure genius that would be worth the price of this book alone. However, it goes much further. You'll learn an array of new ways to use this, to use the amazing included decks and specially gimmick card box, blah, 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 blah. 130-page, full cover, full color, hardcover, hardback book, 3 gimmick decks and a special handmade gimmick card case come packaged in an equally beautiful box set that will look great on display in any home.
Sounds great. Sounds bloody brilliant.
Yeah, can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I know. I need to look more into it. I seen that. I think Vanishing are pushing that. I put like a big easy out about it. And they know their stuff when it comes to like card magic, you know?
Yeah, they do.
And so, yeah, if they're pushing it, it's got to be good. And it's Ben Harris. He came up with so many great things. But one of them I love is Silent Running. I used to do that so many times.
Ben Harris is a genius.
Yeah.
He really is a genius. I genuinely think he's a genius. I think there's one more thing that's worth talking about. Michael Chatelain, who is obviously an incredible creator of magic, has brought out something called No Print. Have you seen the trailer?
Nope.
That's because there is no trailer to see that I can find.
Oh, okay, cool. Sounds great.
No Print, performed on a TV show by Kamel Le Magician. Okay, it's basically modify the value of a bill under the spectator's eyes. No Print is so visual, really easy and new. Always in your pocket, ready to perform in the restaurant, to your friends, at a shop, at a cashier. The effect is so clean. The spectators will freak out. All tricks with money have a really strong effect on spectators, and you will verify this again with No Print. You will leave a magic feeling to your audience.
I can find the trailer here. Do you want to see the trailer?
Oh, well, you tell me. You narrate it.
Okay, so he's got, it says, use your own bill. He's holding a bill. Okay, it's just going back and forth. He's holding it. It's sort of half folded over. And so the camera angle for this at the minute is that it's shot from his perspective. So he's holding the bill up at like chest height. And the bill is vertical with the floor. And he just waved over the 10. You got a 10 euro note. He waved over the 0 on the 10. Well, he waves over the 10. The 0 moved. Oh, it's kind of like Fraud by Garcia then, where the 0 moved. And then it's, and he's doing it with a $20 bill too. So he said, so he takes the 20, he moves the 0 across to a different part of it. It's basically Fraud by Garcia. But it's done with these bills. It looks all right.
Yeah, a lot of people are buzzing about it.
It must be, knowing Chatelain, he does his research well. He makes his gimmicks really well. I'm guessing he's got something very smart that makes this work, you know, superiorly. Is that a word?
Yeah,
superior. To Fraud.
Yeah, let's go with that.
It looks super visual. Like if you were to perform this, it would fuck people up.
It says, so easy in full view, nothing to hide. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, at the minute it looks like fraud. I'd love to know more about it. Oh, wait. It looks like there's no piece hidden in the thumb. You know, with fraud, you actually have to hide a little piece.
Yeah.
I think with this, it doesn't seem like you hide anything. I might be wrong. It just looks very, very, very clean. And then when he makes the zero appear on the other thing, it looks very, very, very clean again. This is a, yeah. If there isn't a piece, this is a fucking head scratcher.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'd love to know more about it.
Well,
very good.
Well, there you go. I wanted to draw that to your attention.
Well, look, we've got about half an hour left. Let's get into Sorry Not Sorry.
Let's do this. So, I don't know what you know. You've read it on Reddit. I actually had a message, and I've got very strong thoughts about this. And to be clear, well, actually, let me just read you what Aaron sent to me. I don't know Aaron. Should I read you what Aaron sent to me? It's not like it's private, because he's posted the same thing on pretty much everywhere. He's on a mission at the moment, Aaron is.
Okay.
He's posting on Reddit. He's posting on various different Facebook groups. He's posting on the Magic Cafe. He's bringing this to everyone's attention. And he said, hi, Craig. I know this might be a conflict of interest for you, as you're quoted as endorsing this product and you work with Penguin. But I strongly feel that Amanda Nepo's Diamond Cutter is simply a variation of my effect with better, my effect better half. My effect is coming out with Orion in 2023, but I invented it in 2014. First of all, for anybody listening to this, I am not biased towards Penguin at all. Yes, I work with them, but Sean and the team know that if I think they've done something wrong, I will happily say it on Magic TV. Just ask Murphy's. I work with those guys, and I've spent the last couple of weeks talking about how the Mr. Blonde thing is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen in the entire world. So don't worry about that. He says, as a staunch defender of crediting and ethics in magic, I figured you'd like to be informed. Now, I pitched this effect to Penguin in 2015 and again in 2021. When we heard about Diamond Cutter coming out, we never asked Penguin for money or tried to block their release. We simply wanted a line of crediting at the bottom. They refused. Initially, we thought it was because it was a big company being a dick, but then they basically said, Amanda doesn't want to do it. She doesn't understand magic ethics or the industry. It's important to me to get this credit because my product is coming out soon and I shouldn't have to defend myself from claims to plagiarism for an effect I created before Amanda even started in magic, which, you know, the magic industry, Craig, that's what's going to happen. He then posts a link to his version from 2015 and he posts another link to another handling that he came up with about 3 months ago, or, you know, a more recent video. And then he also then sent me a link to a blog post, which is a blog that he's written, specifically created a website that hosts a blog. And the website is betterhalfdetails.wordpress.com. It's literally a blog to talk about this one thing. So, and on there, he's posted screenshots of his conversations back and forth with Penguin. And his, I went back and forth with him and I said, well, you know, what's your issue here? Are you saying that Amanda ripped off your trick? And he said, no, we aren't accusing Amanda of anything. In fact, I consider that Penguin are negligent in how they failed her completely and that they're basically throwing under the bus. I'm like, okay, that's really weird. So you've got this coming out with Orion. I just want to mention, I've got no problem with Perseus. I'm hoping to release something with Orion at some point in the next few months because I think Perseus is an amazing guy. But his problem here is that he sent me what he wrote. He wrote a thing for Penguin to add to the ad copy, right? So what he wanted Penguin to add to the ad copy, right? Okay, this is it.
Wait, I think you should explain the trick first.
Okay, well, let's do that. So the trick, have you seen his original version of the trick?
Yeah, I've seen both of them now. So
okay, so his trick is you have somebody pick a card, they're going to pick a five of clubs, and you say, look, if I snap my fingers, the card will come to the top of the deck. It doesn't, it's a 10 of clubs. He then takes the card, turns it towards himself, tears the card in half, and he says, look, there you go, that's now five of clubs. He shows the two pieces, puts one of the pieces down into the spectator's hand, and then he snaps his fingers, and when he turns that half piece over, it's now changed to a five of clubs. The indices have changed from a 10 to a five, right? So that's his original handling from 2014. It hasn't changed much between then and now. That's basically what he's doing. It's an application, and he talks about this in great detail on all forums. It's an application of a misindexed card. That's what he does. And he's got frustration counts and blah, 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 and so on and so forth in there. Amanda's version, because I've got the tutorial, there's a few, because if you want to discuss the two different things, we'll discuss it. Amanda's version, and the reason I gave a quote to Amanda's version, because if you look at the ad copy, there is a quote from me. So I've seen the tutorial. I'm going to be reviewing it. In Amanda's version, on the surface, it looks similar in that you have a card picked. It's going to be a three of diamonds. You say, look,
lost the card. In the deck.
Yeah, it's lost in the deck. Look, it's going to come to the top of the deck. She shows it's the five of diamonds. She holds it face outwards towards the audience, tears the bottom half off. So you go, there you go. There's the five of diamonds. There's the three of diamonds. No, that's not my card. And then she rubs the pip, and visually the pip turns into the three instead of the five, and she gives it to her, to the spectator. So on the surface, it seems like a similar trick, but there's several differences. And the reason I gave a quote to Amanda is because the little nuances and differences that she made elevates this beyond, I'll be honest, both Amanda's version and Aaron's version, there have been things like this for years. The whole idea of having somebody pick a card and it's not the correct card and then ripping it in half has been around as long back as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of changing a card and having pieces drop off. I mean, Reformation by Jay Sankey, he shows a three of hearts. He peels the pip off and it becomes the two of hearts and the indices have changed. Back in Magic Atlas by Joshua Jay, he had them pick a three of diamonds. He took the 10 of diamonds, snapped, diamonds fell off the card and he turned it around and it was a three of diamonds. So this whole thing has been done before. And anybody who's played around with a gaff deck and has therefore got a misindices card has played around with the idea of changing a card by not having them aware of that pip. That's, for me, nothing new. And that whole tearing a card in half is nothing new. What Amanda's
it's kind of like with the three card Monty, even with the gimmick. This, yeah. Whose version is it? Not Michael Close, but version where you
Skinner's three card Monty, but it was around way before Skinner. Daryl's got a version of it. Skinner's got a version of it. Garrett Thomas has got a version coming up.
The first thing that came to mind with when I seen them both, I thought Amanda's was genuinely different because you tear it face up and then you change it openly. So then nothing's
and also nothing's the, yeah, outside. There's no double lift. Sorry, on hers.
Yeah.
There's no double lift. You literally just take the card off the top of the deck. You openly tear it in half in front of the audience. They see the pip and you've got that great moment. And I know you've not seen the tutorial and I have. That moment where the pip changes, I know you probably think you know how it's done. You don't. It's a true innovation of how she's done that.
I actually don't know the method. I would take a stab at it. I can think of a method that would allow you to do it and have nothing to hide. Which would be
Idea in my mind as to how it was done. And I was
Type it to me. The thing that came to mind for me was it reminded me of Ray Cosby's effect because he uses somebody chooses a five of clubs, and then he reveals a 10 of clubs and it's wrong and he tears it in half to become a five of clubs, but then he restores it. It's more similar. So what's the guy's name again? Aaron's was like heart. It's like the first phase of Ray Cosby's more than anything. And there's also a Chris Mayhew trick that was out years ago where somebody names a card or picks a card. You turn the card towards yourself, tear it in half, and then the two halves are different mispicked cards. I actually see Aaron's. I haven't got a dog in the fight. I'm zero affiliation with Penguin at all. Don't know Amanda at all. I don't know Aaron at all. But I
in fact, if anything, you're pro that side because you know Perseus quite well.
I fucking love Perseus. Yeah, he stayed at he stayed with me in Wales and everything. It's a bit painful to say, but I don't think they have a case here.
But it's insane. Staying the big issue for me, first of all, I totally agree with you. They haven't got a case in that Amanda's is a better trick and a different trick. And also, knowing the type of stuff that Perseus has put out recently since starting Orion, I don't know why he wants to release the trick that I've seen Aaron do. Because it's a very average, substandard trick. What makes Amanda's better is it is genuinely an improvement on something that's been done before. But the bigger issue for me, and I'd love to know what you think as somebody who's involved in this industry from a crediting point of view, is the fact that he wrote this for Penguin to include in their ad copy. So bearing in mind, he's never had his trick published. He says he's created it before Amanda, which is fine. We've got videos to see that he's there, but he's not published it. He's not released it through anybody. He sent it to Penguin in 2015 and Penguin said no. And if you look at his blog, they just dismissed it. They were like, hey, thanks, but there's nothing that Penguin needs right now. And then, so he's never released it and at all, like he's never released it. And then he, but I just, I, my head is baffled trying to understand.
Well, there is parts to it. Like he's tried to release it and Penguin, which is the same company that he tried to release it with, has released what he feels is something similar. So I think there is, I think the debate should exist. And I think it's part of it, but it's not about which one's better. I just think they're two.
Yeah, he's turned around and said that he doesn't blame Amanda at all. And he genuinely believes it's independent creation on Amanda's part. He doesn't think that, like, because I said to him when I was messaging him back and forth, I said, are you telling me that you think the Penguin said no to this trick 7 years ago and then turned around to Amanda and said, hey, Amanda, we want to work with you. Here's a trick that was submitted to us 7 years ago. You can release that instead. And he said, no, I believe it's independent creation. I'm like, so if it's independent creation, why are Penguin doing anything wrong? You're saying Penguin are negligent and Penguin have made Amanda look terrible. All that's happened from Penguin's point of view is you submitted a trick and they said no to you for various different reasons. You then went back to them and said, hey, would you like to do this trick? They said no. And then Amanda's come to them and said, would you like this trick? And they've said, yes, you've already said that it's, you don't believe that Amanda's like done anything wrong here. She's created a trick that, you know, people create the same trick all of the time. So why have Penguin done anything wrong? They've said no to you, but they've said yes to Amanda.
Well, I can see why Aaron is upset because he strongly believes that the tricks are very, very similar. And I think that's the issue here because the tricks are different and they're considerably different to the point where I consider Aaron's to be more like other releases that have come out 10, 20, 30, 40 odd years ago compared to Amanda's. And I think Perseus is a very intelligent man. I don't know Aaron, but he seems like he's well-spoken and he seems quite level-headed in everything he's saying. So yeah. I think he's probably a very intelligent person too. Sometimes we get very caught up in our own work and we hold on to it tightly. And sometimes that makes us, I call it snowblind. I've had it and I've had to get over it myself sometimes. He needs to, it's not really opinion based. They are two very different tricks. And once he understands that, he can understand Penguin's position, which is, there's no need to credit. Penguin don't need to credit him. And they haven't released the same trick with somebody else's name on it. And that's why they take this stance. The funny thing is, when I first read this, I was actually going to comment and be like, yeah, this is pretty fucked up. Like, they should never accept and acknowledge your trick. Because some companies get submitted tricks all the time and they don't see every trick. And then sometimes they will see someone else's trick that's similar, release it. And then someone will be like, hey, fucking hell, I submitted this to you in 2000, whatever. And the company can be, even they will not have seen the email. I've seen it happen. But in this case, they've had correspondence with him. So it's like, because he thinks it's the same trick. If it was the same trick, he'd have a nuclear bomb to drop on them. But the problem is it's not the same trick. And it's very, very different. And Aaron's actually similar to other things.
Okay, so you work at Murphy's. If Aaron, just yes or no answers. If Aaron had submitted this trick to you, would you have said yes to it or no?
I know it's yes or no answer, but I don't think we should be commenting on the quality of either trick.
Okay. No, but what I mean is, if you'd have said no to Aaron for whatever reason that you'd have said no to him, and then...
Well, if he had submitted this, it would have... unfortunately, it would have been no, because it's too similar to other things that exist that are already out there.
And then if Amanda brought this to you...
Yeah.
Would you feel the need to speak to Aaron about it? Because the other thing is...
No.
He sent it to Murphy's... He sent it to Penguin in 2015. How many submissions did Penguin get, do you think? Do you think they even remember a submission from like 7 years ago?
Yeah. Well, also, staff change. So I had it when I was at Illusionist. I brought out that change gimmick, the lenticular cards. And about a year after, maybe 2 years, maybe even more, like after years after it was released, somebody had come out of the woodwork, contacted, I can't remember who it was, and said that they'd submitted the same idea to Illusionist about like 3 years before I joined. And I don't know who that person was, but there was one person in charge of submissions that didn't work at Illusionist when I worked at Illusionist. And so when they left, they took all their knowledge and understanding of what had come before and been submitted before. And it was essentially in the ether, you know what I mean? And so the person said, well, I submitted this to Illusionist years before you joined there. And now I see this coming out. They weren't aware because they hadn't been in Magic. Like, you know, what are you going to give me? And it was a tricky one, but the situation was, well, what do you say? Like,
yeah.
Never got published for whatever reason. I don't know. It was a weird one, but
the thing is, I said to Aaron, if Amanda had chosen to put this out through Vanishing Ink, would you have an issue with it? And he said, yes, because I submitted my trick to Vanishing Ink as well. I'm like, okay, so let's say that Amanda released this as an independent release and didn't go through a company that you've tried to get Better Half pushed through. Would you have an issue then? And he went, no, I'd just have to go, oh, well, I have to accept it. And I said, so in reality here, what we're basically saying is the only reason you're upset is because she's released it through another company that you've already pitched it to. But you've got at least two companies here that have said no. And I said to him, maybe you need to focus on, making it. I said, there's a million reasons why Penguin might have gone with Amanda instead of you, beyond the fact that the trick is different. It might be that she's got a bigger profile because she's just fooled Penn and Teller at the age of 16. It might be that she's got a bigger sellable brand. I said to her, my advice would be to focus on building a brand around you as a creator. If you want to be a creator, make it so that, you know, any production company you go through can't say no.
You know what, though? And this is no smoke up anyone's fucking arse, because I see so many of these types of tricks all the time. And especially because I do so much gaff magic. I create so much gaff magic. I've explored more tricks like this than you could ever fucking understand. What I saw Amanda's, it's actually pretty good. It's a good trick. Like a trick that I would happily put my fucking name on.
Yeah.
And that's why maybe they did think about a profile, but I got a funny feeling that if anyone had submitted that trick to them, they would go, yeah, because it's got a really great visual moment to it. It's all done face up in front of the spectators. And it needs refills. Every magic company loves a trick that needs refills. And I know Aaron's needs refills, but it's so similar to so many things that came before it. Whereas Amanda's looks great. Like I didn't give it, like I know some people jump on things when it's diversity involved, like, oh, it's a female magician, so just blindly support them or whatever. I don't fucking believe in that shit. I just think you should be working off your own merits. And I seen that trick and I thought, oh, that's a fucking good trick.
It is.
And and Aaron's, and it's not to dissuade Aaron's, but it's just so similar to so many things that came before it. If those two submissions that came to me, I would have been releasing Amanda's for sure, but I wouldn't have released Aaron's because it's just so derivative. And I think that's the key issue.
This is what he wrote. You know, of course, one of his big issues is Penguin won't credit him on the ad copy. Let me tell you what because he wrote what he wanted on the ad copy and sent it to Penguin, and Penguin said no. As somebody who writes ad copy, now you know the whole scenario. Let me tell you exactly what he wrote. This is what he wanted Penguin to include on the ad copy. In 2014, Australian magician Aaron Ducker created a very similar effect to Diamond Cutter named Better Half. As Aaron's Better Half predates Diamond Cutter, we have been in contact with him and his producer and have gained approval to release this version independently. Aaron's version will be released through Orion Magic Productions and will contain all the nuances, theory, and bonus ideas he's developed over the 8 years he's performed and evolved the effect. We highly recommend checking out the Better Half project when it's released.
Oh, God, no.
That's what he wanted.
Fuck that's no. That's advertising another product. That's not credited.
That's what he wants. That's what he wrote. And he wanted Penguin to include in their ad copy.
I don't know whether I love Perseus. I don't know whether it was Perseus or Aaron that wrote that. I fucking love Perseus. You know, a great dear friend. That would never be printed in a fucking million years. That's craziness. But what if the tricks were similar? If it was similar, you'd put credit to Aaron. Was it Drucker?
Aaron Drucker, for
working on a similar concept and a slash effect in 2015. That's all you'd put, and you'd put the name of his trick.
Yeah,
Better Half or whatever.
But it hasn't been published, and he could have published it. He could have put it as an instant download. He could have put it in a magazine and had it, if he wanted it attached to his name. He could have put it in a magazine. He could have published it in Magic Magazine or Genie or, you know, Vanish Magazine or a million other magazines. He could have put it somewhere and published it somewhere and said, hey, this is my trick. This is mine. But yeah, I don't get it. Like you, I love Perseus to bits and I hope to work with him at some point in the future. I really do, because I think that Perseus is amazing. And he's one of my favorite interviews that I've done on my channel.
Yeah.
And Aaron, in all the conversation I've had with him, comes across as a really, really, really nice guy. And despite that I work with Penguin, I don't know Amanda at all. I don't know for Adam. I have no idea. Never spoken to her, never talked to her. All I know is I know this trick. And I genuinely feel that, because Aaron is running around the internet, kicking over tables right now. He's posting blogs. He's posting on Reddit. He's posting on the Magic Cafe. He's posting on Facebook. And all he's doing is he's just... I just think it's an exercise in futility. And my advice to him and Perseus is to drop it. Don't bother releasing it. Because even if you do release it in 2023, people will just compare it to Diamond Cutter. And
no, I don't think they will. I think they'll compare it to the other things that exist out there.
Which are, you know, predate his trick by a long time.
Do you know, I think even Perseus has this trick. A very, very similar thing. Yeah, Perseus, I filmed it with him in he flew over from Greece. He takes a 10 of clubs and he out jogs it halfway in the deck. Yeah, he out jogs the 10 of clubs in the deck, holds it at chest height. He tears it and it visually turns into a mini 10 of clubs or something. And that's fucking amazing. That trick was my favorite. It was off his project called Mini. And that was my favorite trick off his project. And he credits maybe Ray Cosby on there. This is a super strange one. Super duper strange. I just wonder, maybe they fucking invested in the gimmicks already. And they're like, fuck, we need to recoup losses.
If they have, then the simple solution is you've got a shitload of gimmicks, which are obviously missing deceased cards. Come up with some other tricks with it. Sit down and come up with a project with that card. Don't just release one trick. Release 10 tricks with it. Give people real value.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a tough one. And I haven't got a dog in the fight. I like everyone involved here. But from the outside perspective, looking in, because I could be missing some killer details that make this important, it looks like two very... different things.
Yeah, I agree. I wish them all well. It's also not really fair that it's Amanda's first release and she's getting this. You know, it's not. Yeah, but you know, whatever.
I mean, he's put it out there to the people. this is one of those things, like, you're all, like, any magic trick that does good these days, normally it comes with drama.
This is Sean Dunn posted, because Aaron's been posting this everywhere, and Sean Dunn replied on Facebook, and this is what Sean said. Hey, it's Sean, the Penguin guy here. We received a submission from Aaron 7 years ago. From what I can tell you, we turned it down. I actually don't remember the effect of 7 years ago. I see so much magic. I'm really sorry for not remembering your video. The reason the decision was made not to give credit is that the effect is different in our opinion. The method is different, and Amanda published her effect first. Different method, different effect, and first to market. I think that means that it's not too unusual for an artist or a company not to add credit. Sometimes it makes sense to go into battle mode over a magic product, but I do not feel that this is one of those situations. For us, it really comes down to the tricks being different, the methods being different, and Amanda's trick being released while Aaron's trick is unpublished. Hopefully you can see the products are different so you can have your own release without any drama. And Aaron said, Sean, you're claiming you haven't heard anything about this effect for 7 years. That's untrue. I resubmitted the effect in 2021 and messaged you as soon as I saw that Amanda's version was in the pipeline. The effect is so similar that I've shown both layman friends and they swear they've seen the same effect twice. Now, the methodology has one tiny difference that arguably, in the eyes of most people I've spoken to, makes the effect less workable and is superfluous to the effect. Saying that Amanda got to market first and making that the reason I have no claim for an acknowledgement is absurd, because you are the people who got to chose who could go to market first. You can't bump her up the queue and say, well, she got there first when you said no to me. If we're going with this first to publish defense to protect our IP, are we to release every idea we have as a half-baked Murphy's download? To those that say it's been done to death and it's just a misindexed card, I say that I've never seen anyone else do this trick. I've struggled for years to find gaffes, and I had them printed myself, which was very expensive, hence my desire to release with the company. The bread and butter of Amanda's method is the same as mine, and you were informed of this before its release. I know I have no power to do anything about this, but I feel it's unjust, and the only thing I can do is ask the court of public opinion their views too. And then Eric comes on and says, Eric Tate, who's obviously works with Penguin as well in the creative team, and says, Aaron, the idea of a card being torn and then changed from the wrong card to the right card is one that's been explored by many in the magic world. Divided by Jesse Feinberg is the same effect.
Divided by Jesse Feinberg. That's what I've been fucking searching my tits off for.
Divided by Jesse Feinberg is
the same. I always get him effect. And Chris Mayhew confused. Always.
Divided by Jesse Feinberg is the same effect and actually uses a cover piece to show the selected pip before the first tear and has the same idea of tearing pips off a card to make it the correct card. The outward effects are somewhat similar, but the handlings do not look anything alike. With yours, the card is torn while facing the magician. With Amanda's, the card is torn while facing the audience. With yours, the pip changing must happen in the spectator's mind as the pip that performs the actual change is hidden from the beginning and appears to require a switch prior to the actual change. With Amanda's, the cover piece provides a visual moment. In addition, the method of applying and actually changing the cover piece is a genuine innovation in Amanda's. The substance she uses allows for a very smooth and delicate change. The method on her cover piece is not a small innovation, but a rather large one that I can see other people taking and applying to other effects. Not to mention, there's a very clever camouflage principle in the application of the cover piece that further sells the effect. And then Aaron says, Eric, to say divided is the same thing as a stretch. Your company keeps trying to use that smoking gun. That's like saying if Feinberg wanted a credit on my project, I'm happy to give him one because I'm ethical. But there's no impossible object ending. A layman who gets the ending souvenir will have to remember and explain what happened. With Better Half and Diamond Cutter, the final change is frozen in time, so it's just apparent. Also, if you're so insistent, then Feinberg predates us both. I assume that you're going to be crediting him on Diamond Cutter as well. He's just making himself look bad right now, I think, to be honest.
He's doubling down, it seems like, hoping for a different outcome or a change in solution. I feel terrible because I feel like he seems like in his writings that he's really chill and he's like he's trying to just, but I just think he doesn't have a dog in this fight. I think this one's, I don't think, yeah, I mean, it, like I said, it's so similar to things that come before it.
I agree.
In this situation, I would just drop it. I put it out there. They came back and they made some valid facts points. And I think in this situation, I'd like, do you know what? I thought maybe it was the same, but I would just say I apologize and move on. It's what it is. It's that
I've seen it before. There's a, if you submit a trick to a magic company, and I just put, I know I briefly spoke about it, and then they release something similar to it, it makes the heat feel, it feels more intense because, I don't know, they, people get this preconceived idea that the magic company is like, they take your idea and they think it's amazing, but they want to do it with somebody else and they want to change it and make it a little bit different. So they, I'm going to pay you. People have these all these theories that the magic, the magic companies are just like these profit machines that just trying to screw people over. And it's actually completely fucking not like that. And I think when people understand that, then they don't get as, worked up over these things. But yeah, interesting situation. The funny thing is, when I first read Aaron's post, I didn't watch his videos and I was like, fuck, this is so bad. Like, this is actually a dick move on Penguin's behalf. And it wasn't until like reading comments and then I scrolled back up to the post and then I watched the videos and I was like, oh, hang on. Oh, these are not the same trick. It's not the same method. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a bit. Oh, and then I completely flipped on it, 180.
The problem is when stuff like this happens that people, the amount of times I've seen Murphy's are terrible, Murphy's are bullshit, Penguin are terrible, Penguin are bullshit. Yeah, we've got our problems with various different magic companies and nobody's perfect. Fucking Mr. Blonde, peak device, bag of shit. But, there's times where Penguin and Murphy's will get the blame and they've done nothing wrong. I really feel for Penguin in this situation because ethically, from their point of view, they said no to a trick a few years ago. They didn't want it. And they've said yes to another trick. And now they're getting heat all over the internet.
Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time. But I don't know what it is with the magic industry itself, but they fucking love drama. Fucking love the drama. And often the drama doesn't exist. Sometimes it does. But often the drama doesn't exist and gets blown up into shit. But I think this is, we have to live with it. You know, magicians are not going to change. By proxy, the majority of magicians are self-driven, like egotistical in a way. I'm not accusing anyone in particular of that, but because, they have to, it's every man for themselves in the magic industry. You know, you release something, it's on your own terms. If you're a gigging magician, you always want to get the gig over someone else. And I think that just sort of bleeds through into then the daily lives of them. And they just need to, we all just need to chill.
I agree.
But anyway, now, it's 10:30.
Have you got time to do a quick reader's question?
I can do one.
You can do one.
Yeah.
I'll give you a choice. Do you want Alex Bowe or Daniel Rothschild? Let's do Daniel.
There's also one from Rich Relish as well, but.
Let's do this one quickly and see where we're at because I know you
do Daniel Rothschild. I think his came in first, so he was thinking of us earlier.
Hi boys, hope you're doing okay.
Mommy, please.
What the hell? Hang on, he's speaking very quietly. I'm trying to.
Yeah, turn it up if you can.
Hope you're doing okay. So I have two questions for you today. One is from 2 weeks ago from the last podcast. I didn't get to listen to is what magic would you bring to a pool party? But the other question, and I think the more interesting one, is what magic trick you like that uses a psychological subtlety or a psychological principle. I'll give an example. I really like this and that. That's a color of Monty version, I think. Because it uses the framing principle pretty well, in my opinion. So those are my questions. I hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful day. And remember, love sheep, not wool.
Fuck, what was the question? Because I sort of...
Basically, what tricks do you like that uses psychological subtlety?
Ooh. What tricks do I like that uses psychological?
I mean, it's very broad.
Oh, there's a great one by Gabby Pereiras, the late Gabby Pereiras. Tony Chang showed it to me in New York. And you take the ace, two, three, four, five of diamonds. Have you seen this?
No.
And you show the ace, two, three, four, five of diamonds in order. And then you place down the ace, the two, the three, the four, and the five on the table face down. Okay, so you alternate the order. And you pause for a moment. And then when you pick the cards back up,
the order is now the ace, the two, the three, the four, the five, and they've completely reversed. And there's a really beautiful moment of psychological subtlety in there that helps sell the entire illusion. Maybe that's not the best one to use because it's just a great method with one moment. But what about you? Do you have anything off the top of your head straight away?
It's quite a broad thing, psychological subtlety. I think how I would, I do Coin Vexed by David Penn. I think it's the best coin bending routine that there is out there. And I love that moment where you put the coin in their hand and you go, you're going to feel it bending, you're going to feel it bending. And I don't know if you call it psychological subtlety or you call it like minor hypnosis, but you they are convinced that that coin is bending in their hand because the coin that you've put in there is bent already and they don't know about it. When they start squeezing it tighter, it feels like it's actually bending, which is a really beautiful moment in that routine because the magic happens in their mind, but they react and it happens for everybody else that's watching, even though there's nothing visual happening. I really love that moment. I don't know if that's, that's what we mean, but
that's a great show. Sometimes I do coin vanishes. I just don't even fucking have the coin at all to begin with. Just pretend that I'm holding one. I don't even mention to it. One trick that I do, probably my go-to trick, the trick I perform the most in my life, is I call it two-card deluxe. It's like two-card Monty. I call it two-card deluxe. And I place two cards. So most people do aces to queens or something like that. But I place two cards in people's hands, fingertips. And then, so it's exactly like two-card Monty. You do the whole switch thing, you know, switching your fingertips quickly without you seeing. And then I say, and this is what they remember. I say, name two playing cards. And they name two playing cards and they turn over the two cards in hand. It's the two cards they've named. And that is 100% surefire. And it's the thing that I use the most. And that uses a basic psychological subtlety with some really nice tips. And I'll share it here, which is basically I start off with the two black threes. And I put the two black threes in there, you know, so I show a three of clubs and a three of spades, and I go through the rigmarole of switching them. And what the cards that I switch them for are two red sevens, the seven of diamonds, seven of hearts. And the reason is this: seven and three are best friends. If you say to somebody, think of a number between one and 10, most people think of seven. But if you say to somebody, think of a number between one and 10, not three, then it's 99.99999% of people will say seven. It's a strange thing, but Peter Turner taught me this. And if by saying not three, seven and three live together in people's minds. And so they start off with the threes in their hands, two black threes. And then I say, so go through the whole thing. Would you be impressed if it was three of clubs was on top or bottom? I say, you know what, actually, before that, name a number between one and 10, not three. Everyone names seven, right? So then I'll tell you what happens when they don't, because this is great. So I say, not three. And everyone says seven. I say, you know what? Name two different colors, name two different suits to the ones you're holding. And they say hearts and diamonds, which to the outset sounds really fierce. I say, okay, look, so you said seven of hearts and diamonds, but you could have said anything. I said two different suits to the ones you're holding. You could have said hearts and clubs. You could have said diamonds and spades. You could have said anything you wanted. And you could have named any number. You could have said the six. So you could have the six of clubs. And I try and just reframe it a bit to make it feel more fair. But I said, ultimately, you've named the seven of hearts and seven of diamonds. Is that fair? And everyone agrees. I said, go ahead and turn the two threes over. And they turn them over and they've got the seven of hearts, seven of diamonds. And it's miracle status. Like, it's really hard to perform anything else after that.
That's killer.
And often I don't. But what happens when they miss, right? So Craig, you're holding the two black threes in your hands. And mm-hmm. I say to you, name a number between one and 10, but not three. Because you hold
five.
Five. Well, what I want you to do is go ahead and count to five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Did you see the moment the two threes switched places? You thought the clubs was on top and the spades was on bottom, but they've actually switched. Go ahead and turn them over. Boom. And they just change it to two completely different fucking cards.
That's killer.
So it's two card Monty, exactly the same. You just use threes and sevens. You throw in that line of name a number. If they name the seven, which 99% of the time they do, you get a fucking miracle. And if they don't, you've got two card Monty. So it's completely for free. It's complete free miracle, and it hits 99% of the time. And that's the trick that I go to the most. It uses a really, I think it's like strong psychological subtlety in a way. I don't know, psych force.
Very good. Very good. That's
my dude. Start performing that. You'll see. Once you start doing it, the reactions are fucking insane.
Hell, I'm going. You should teach that on one of your YouTube videos. Even if it's just a bonus video one day.
I taught it about 8 years ago on for the Illusionist Black Club or something. But I've spoken about it before. I kind of don't want it out there because I know that the magicians that I've shown this to, they start doing it. And I am quite proud of it. And then Blaine did it on TV. And I don't know whether he'd seen my videos or not, but he did it in his last special. He did two card Monty. And then the two cards were named cards. And I know that he's done Cypher on TV or whether he, but Cypher was the concept that I created with Will Jones. And I thought, I wonder if he's just seen more. But I was chuffed when I'd seen that on there, because even if he didn't see mine and then was inspired by it, at least I feel like he's one of the greatest ever magicians. So I'm thinking along the same path as him.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so that's my
one. That's a really good answer. Brilliant answer. Way better than mine. Have you got time for one more question or not? I know you've got to go.
Go on then, quickly.
One last one. Okay, here you go. Alex Bowe.
Hi, Lloyd. Hi, Craig. And the other five people listening. Alex here again. I'm just wondering whether you think there needs to be more magic on telly, something in the lines of maybe the X Factor style, or could be called a Great British Magician, something where maybe a layman was taught by a magician mentor and had to do a routine, or maybe magicians came on and were voted off each week? Or do you think it would be shunned by people in the industry? Also, I love the idea of the pin badge and meeting up before the Blackpool Convention. That sounds like a great idea. We could also, as a team building, instead of doing donkey rides on the beach, we could do sheep rides. That's something
brilliant.
Wow. Thanks for listening, guys.
I think sheep rides is the best idea ever. And yeah, the meetup's got to happen.
Yes. What do you think, Craig? You're in that realm now.
I kind of am a little bit at the moment. The thing is, there's constantly shows that are coming on TV that are magic themed. You know, every few years there's a new magic. A few years ago, it was The Next Greatest Magician, wasn't it? And these shows typically run for one or two seasons and then they go away. Killer Magic, Monkey Magic, there's always something coming on. I think that as the magic comes in peaks and troughs, and sometimes people are super into it and sometimes people aren't. I think at the moment we're riding high. I know that, the last Britain's Got Talent, we didn't have any magic acts in the final. Fuck you, Ryland, didn't work hard enough. But the year before, half of the acts were in the final, but even then magic was portrayed really, really well. You've got a Britain's Got Talent magic special happening this year, that's coming up later on in this year. There's magic coming all the time. I know that in the next year or two, there's probably going to be because magic is something that TV will always fall back on when they're running out of ideas. And I know in the next couple of years, there's going to be a new show that's going to be shown on TV and it's going to be all themed to magic. I know it is, because there's constantly stuff coming out. I don't think you can force it. Should there be more magic on TV? Yes, but what you don't want to do is oversaturate it. You don't want to have so much magic on that it just gets a little bit like, I think that where we're at right now is good. I think that we're probably going to get I reckon in the next year or so, we're going to get a new TV show in Britain from either Dynamo. I imagine that people will go with Dynamo, or they might go with somebody different, like when Troy did a TV show. But I imagine we're going to get another show like that in the next year. I reckon there'll be an ensemble show coming up in the next year or two, a bit like Killer Magic and Monkey Magic. And, Britain's Got Talent continues to be the place, as long as Russ Stevens is involved. Britain's Got Talent continues to be the place where magic is portrayed really well, in my opinion. So I don't see a problem, to be honest. I think that we're in a good place when it comes to magic.
Yeah, I think so. There's never such thing as too much magic in my eyes. But I do think there's a need for a new show. And what I feel like, though, is that it should be something along the lines of like a new type of Darren Brown show that really like makes it a very, not serious in a way, it's like, oh, this is very serious, but it really shows magic in the best light possible. And like, I watched the Oracle Bar in Liverpool. I'm looking for the business card. I was just trying to type it in. But the Oracle Bar in Liverpool, if you go on their YouTube page, they posted Louis Laval's full seance performance. It's like an hour long. And it's a fucking incredible. It's got intimate venue, parlor, Q&A, act and stuff like that. And it's amazing. And that if that was on TV, because it's shot so well as well by Terry Chung, I believe, that would get so many people interested in magic. And that would be a bit of a spectacle. And it's Louis Laval, you know, in sort of character doing his full seance act. And it's so fucking good. And, you know, like Derek Delgadio's in and of itself is another great example. But that's more, again, these are two film shows. I'd like to see a magic show where it's, you know, Blaine style, in but also meeting performance, more performances as well, not just the celebrities. I feel there's a space for that, for a new star of magic. And I'd say star in the loosest terms. I don't like the whole, hey, I'm the star, I'm David Copperfield type star of magic. I really like people to, like the idea of someone being magic as opposed to somebody who just performs it on a stage. Does that make sense? Like somebody who is that like persona, like Darren Brown, very much, everyone believes he can do magic. David Blaine, everyone believes he can do magic, or most people do. Fucking, even Uri Geller to an extent.
Yeah.
And I believe this is a big space for that right now in Britain. I'd love to see more of that. Which isn't a bad thing.
I agree. That's my favorite question. Oh, it is. My favorite magic show of all time was when Pete Thurman and Annie Cook did the Secret Show of Magic, where they were just going to a different country every week and they were just like showcasing the magicians in that country.
Yeah, fucking, like fucking Harry Lorraine, Juan Tamaras, David Regal, I think was the American.
Yeah, Regal was there. Yeah, tons of people were there. And I thought that was just an amazing concept for a TV.
Yeah, that really showed magic in a great light. Really showed magic in a great light. But I have to bounce. I have to go.
Well, I'm sorry, Rich Relish.
We'll play the questions Welshman next week.
Has humped you. We'll get to Rich's question next week. Guys, Lloyd has to shoot off. This has been a slightly shorter podcast this week. But thank you very much for joining us. By the way, very quickly, Lloyd, I just heard the ghost of Pixel.
that was Dog 2. Dog Tanyon.
Very quickly, people have replied to you. I know you're not on Facebook. So there was a poll put up by Daniel Lee. There was a poll, a little poll to settle the dispute between Craig and Lloyd, how many make it to the end of each and every podcast. And the five options were, I listen to every set. Right. So in last place is 0% voted for, I don't even bother to finish this crap. In fourth place.
That's me today. I don't even bother.
In fourth place, what podcast? I'm just here for the discussions. In third place, I listen to every podcast from beginning to end, but I sometimes skip a couple of seconds when the guys keep repeating themselves. That's third place. In second place is who the fuck are Craig and Lloyd? And in first place, with a whopping 77%, I listen to the very end, hoping to soak up every last drop. So fuck you, Lloyd. People are listening right to this very second. When you think they've all fucked off, people are still listening.
Ugh, fuck. So I can't tell. Ugh, okay.
Go on, let's just wrap it up like we normally do. My wife's a prostitute, you fuck sheep, and Ryland's a wanker. Anything else we need to cover? I think we've done it all, right?
No, I think that the only thing you've got left to cover is Ryland's face and jizz. Brilliant. I've seen the photo. You showed me the photo.
Oh, that's a photo of me cuddling him backstage before he went on fucking show. Oh my God.
Struggle cuddling. Right, I gotta go. Have a shit day, everyone.
Oh my fucking God. Bye, everybody. Bye. We'll see you again next Wednesday. See you soon.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.